Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
I sell homes pretty much every day. And in my career, in 27 years, I've sold about 2,500 homes. My business continues to grow in that area of helping people buy and sell real estate. And I am so thankful that I've entered into this career 11 years ago, began the show. In fact, coming up just this next month, September, I'll celebrate my 11th full year. I'll start my 12th year on the radio here at WMAL. And as I've mentioned, I'm really here to help you, give you information, to help you make a good decision. Only 5% of seniors ever move to a retirement community. That is a known fact within the industry. Only 5%. The reality is, I think many more would probably make a change in their living environment if they understood how to approach it, if they knew what questions to ask, if they knew how to understand. Assisted living, for instance. What are assisted living options here in Montgomery County, Maryland, for instance, or here in Arlington County, or here in Washington, D.C.? To try to understand assisted living, we have to understand what does it mean to have your living being assisted? How much time does that person? Now, as an example, in the District of Columbia, there are currently 16 licensed assisted living residences. And the District of Columbia Department of Health Regulation and Licensing defines an assisted living residence, or ALR, as an entity, whether public or private, for-profit or not-for-profit, that combines housing, health, and personalized service in accordance to individually developed service plans for the support of individuals who are not related to the owner or operator of the entity. Okay, so it's not like in your home. It's not somebody in the family supporting. That's not assisted living as far as the District of Columbia is concerned. An assisted living residence does not include a group home for mentally retarded people, okay, as defined in Section 2.5 of the Health Care and Community Residence Facility Hospice and Home Care Licensure Act of 1983. Or a mental health community residence facility, as that term is used in Title 22, Chapter 38 of the District of Columbia Municipal Regulations. Okay, so what does that mean? It just means you can live somewhere, and if you're provided an individual plan of assisting you in your living in a day-to-day basis, you're going to be calling that an assisted living place with some caveats, right? In Maryland, an assisted living provider is defined as a residential or facility-based provider that provides housing and supportive services, supervision, personalized assistance, health-related services, or a combination of these services to meet the needs of residents who are unable to perform or who need assistance in performing the activities of daily living or instrumental activities of daily living in a way that promotes optimum dignity and independence for the residents. And there's a wide variety of assisted living providers in Maryland. So they can range from large corporate-managed facilities where hundreds of people live in their own apartments to small private homes in which the owners provide services to two residents who may share a bedroom. The levels of care, really, the levels of care vary depending upon the assisted living place, the place itself, and who's there and who can provide the care. You want to understand assisted living in Virginia, Maryland, D.C., essentially, it's going into a place where you're provided with care, a tailored care plan to help you. And it might be a long-term process. It may be a short-term process. I've had clients of mine who've moved to assisted living because they needed the help. One of my clients fell and was unconscious for a short period of time and was moved into assisted living so he could have further evaluation and care provided to him as he recovered his independence. That's great. At the end of the day, really anything about your housing option is about you retaining your independence as much as you want to retain it. Whether you're in full-term care, assisted living care, independent living, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, my parents who live in a continuing care retirement community, my mom has had a challenge with her neck, and she's been going through physical therapy, and she's had some extra care in a process of getting her back to be fully independent. right? And that's the goal. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be independent and continue to live our lives to the fullest. Knowing what the options are is the key. In the Right Sizing Guide, free guide you can download at ericstewartgroup.com, I give you a basic overview of the different options that are out there. And in the CCRC guide, I give you a list of all the continuing care retirement communities here in the Washington, D.C. area. There are assisted living places as well, and we can give you access via an online link for you to download that if you're interested as well. Go to ericstewartgroup.com with any questions you have about that. Hey, veterans, we appreciate you, and we're grateful for your service to our country. One of the benefits of being a veteran, and you know, I think you might find this a little bit of surprising, is that one in four dying Americans right now is a veteran. And these are the men and women who often carry experiences from their military service that present unique challenges at the end of life. Across America, hospice professionals are enhancing their skills to meet those needs through We Honor Veterans, which is a program of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, which was originally developed in partnership with the Department of Veterans Affairs. We Honor Veterans is expanding to reach more veterans through a new collaboration between Dignity Memorial, which is a network of funeral homes, and this National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. I want to encourage you, if you are a vet, if you're the wife of a vet or the husband of a vet, and you want to get more information on what this means, go to wehonorveterans.org. I'm so grateful for the veterans I've worked with. When I started 27 years ago, I helped many vets who had moved into brick and block Ramblers, and they had their 4.5% interest rate that they had just recently paid off from the homes that they bought in 1950 and 1952 and 3 and 47 after they came back from eating sea rations, serving our country, protecting us against the Nazi threat. I'm so grateful for each one of the veterans and for their protection of our freedoms here in America. Thank you. You are to be honored. Public housing. How many of you all know anything about public housing? I got to be honest with you. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've had a few of my properties that were occupied by what we call Section 8 renters, which is a public housing rental group. You can actually, if you qualify for Section 8, perhaps you're an underprivileged individual, you have a large family, single mom, a variety of different considerations, qualify someone to receive a voucher from HUD, from the Housing and Urban Development Program, which allows people to live essentially in a subsidized housing environment. Public housing has its place. It's a social work for the benefit of the poor, for the benefit of the destitute, and it's a part of what we as a country provide to many people here. Now, there are proposals that would expand the HUD program in public housing that would make tenants more self-sufficient. So in the U.S. News section, July 22nd, and this is in the Wall Street Journal, I was reading by Jennifer Levitz the following article. I thought this was interesting. In fact, I probably need to start this, and I'll take a brief break and come back to it. But momentum is building to let more housing authorities impose time limits or work requirements on tenants who move into public housing or receive the federal rental subsidy known as Section 8. Competing plans in the Senate, House, and Obama administration would broaden a 1996 project called Moving to Work, which allows a small group of housing authorities to set requirements aimed at promoting self-sufficiency among tenants. Now, let me stop and explain. What we're really talking about is we raise our children and we teach them how to become independent and to launch them into life, right? That's the way as families we are to live our lives as families, as fathers and mothers, is to raise our children and launch them successfully to become successful on their own in the same way that our parents have hopefully launched us and their parents before them. A part of that is weaning the child. It's cutting off the provision for the child as they need to take flight on their own. Push them out of the nest, as we've often heard. When I get back, let's discuss what are the options that we have before us to do that in the public housing sector. I'll be right back.